Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. The Great Plains Writers Tour and Writers Symposium kicks off tomorrow at Mount Marty College in Yankton. Community members and students are invited for readings, discussions, and workshops this year. Today, we welcome two of the event's featured writers. We start off with Christine Stewart Nunez. She's a poet, a memoirist, and a professor at South Dakota State University. Her work has been featured in numerous literary magazines. She's the author of several poetry books. Her book, Untrust, is a 2017 Dakota Midday Book Club selection. Her book, Blue Words, Greening, was also recently released. Christine, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me.
So this is the first year that this event is having workshops. Is that something that you're participating in as well?
I am. Jim Reese has asked me to talk about how a poem happens. So I'll be talking a little bit about the creative process for me and how my poems are composed in particular, and maybe a little bit about how I came up with the books, the two new books I have out too, so how the books are composed and arranged and how they happen as well.
I remember the first time I ever went to one of your poetry readings. I can remember sitting at Augustana College with a fountain behind you as you read. And I remember thinking, I didn't know you could write poetry about that topic. I didn't know you could say that in a poem. And it changed how I looked at poetry forever. Do you feel that people have a sense that poetry topics are limited and they need to have that wall sort of torn down like I did?
Well, first, thank you for those kind words.
Thank you for the moment.
Yes. Yeah, I think that, you know, even though there are a lot of writers in the 60s and 70s that tore down walls about issues of the body and life and what happens in our lives, I still think that because so many people don't read broadly in terms of poetry, that there's still some things that are taboo or surprising, writing about relationships, writing about childbirth, writing about parenting in very particular ways.
Right.
So those are some of the things that I keep in mind, that if the topic and what I explore isn't surprising for me, it's not going to be surprising for reader, which isn't a new idea at all, but something I try to always keep in mind.
Does poetry still surprise you as you're reading it from other poets and as you're writing it? Is there still a surprise waiting for you after all this time?
Absolutely. I think even when I'm reading a poem that I've written to a new audience, I still am surprised because I don't always know the impact of my words on an audience. And so they might move physically in their chairs or look at me or sigh or laugh or be in kind of a stunned silence from time to time. And even that surprises me, the way that relationship happens.
Would you talk about, let's focus on Blue Words Greening. We're going to have you back and talk about Untrust in April, mm-hmm. I think, as that becomes a Dakota Midday Book Club selection. I'm excited for that conversation. Today, let's talk about this other book that just recently came out as well. And let's start with Blue Words. That's interesting what that means. Explain that for me a little.
Well, it's a word I made up based on my son, who has a rare form of epilepsy that's characterized by aphasia. So blue word means any word spoken by someone with aphasia. Because when he was at his worst in terms of being able to speak or not speak, he would say a lot of the same words over and over that didn't have a deliberate meaning. So blue words was the word I came up with to kind of talk about that whole those utterances, I suppose.
And so that strikes me immediately as an interesting scenario for a mother who is also a poet, to have those words sort of appear from your son. As you, as a mother, continue to face the challenge of a child with needs that were unexpected.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people have pointed the irony out to me that a poet, a professor's son, loses his ability to understand and express himself. Absolutely. But one of the things it's also given me the ability to do is when he does generate language, and he is more now than he used to be, he comes up with some really interesting and beautifully poetic terms. So he calls vending machines snack booths, which I think is fantastic. And I call them snack booths now because they're so much more appropriate. And so I look for those beautiful gems that he comes up with. So even though at times language evades him, sometimes he's able to grasp it, and what comes out is really amazing. Mm.
There's a poem in this book where he is sort of drawn to the video game, and he's looking at Sonic the Hedgehog and opening it and closing the case, and you're reminded of your own childhood when, for you, it was a book. It was a Little House on the Prairie book. So you're making those connections as well.
Yeah, I thought for a long time, and it still does break my heart that he doesn't know how to read quite yet. He's making some progress this year, but it always, every year I would just think, oh, this second grade is going to be when he learns to read, or third grade is going to be when he learns to read, or fourth grade is going to be the year he learns to read. And one day I just realized that because of the visual world is so powerful for him, and that's what he can apprehend, that his video games or his iPad or his puzzles or that world, or those are his stories. And he loves books, but they have to have pictures. So, yeah, it was a pretty powerful moment for me to understand that, to make that connection.
The process of putting together poetry for this particular collection, which sort of centered around this journey. Tell me what that was like.
Of putting the book together?
Yes, or just spending that much time sort of, crafting a book as you also dealt with things in real life.
Yeah, I think the poems began with tensions that I would see. So when he would have a seizure that we could see, I might take a few images from that. And then as I learned about his kind of epilepsy, Landau-Kleffner syndrome, and I would research it, and then I would watch it happen, and I would research it some more and then write about it, these tensions kind of emerged, and then I would put a term that I didn't know, like echolalia, into a poem, because that would see what would happen when he would repeat things and repeat things and repeat things. So suddenly it became a way for me to explore this concept and explore my son's learning. It was difficult sometimes, but there are lots of poems in that section of the book too that kind of celebrate his strengths at the same time. And so it really made me also focus on, you know, what he could do well and what his possibilities are, not just the difficulties.
It seemed like many times there's a celebration of language, a celebration of relationship and connection, and of poetry itself. Is poetry an ally for you? In one of the reviews, they said something about poetry being an ally, and I wondered if that was true.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine a life for me without writing. It helps me stay grounded, and it helps me see the world in more rich ways. I think it has helped me be a better parent, in particular, to Holden, because it's always a way for me to untangle some of the difficulties and possibilities at the same time.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Christine Stewart Nunez. She's a poet, a memoirist, and professor at South Dakota State University. She's going to be at the Great Plains Writers Tour and Writers Symposium tomorrow at Mount Marty College. And one of the things she's talking about is how a poem happens. So, Christine, I'm wondering if before we let you go, you could just give us a quick preview, a sort of an appetizer, as it were, for how does a poem happen?
I have three kind of concepts that are principles, perspective, and practice. And each of those, you know, I draw from principles like sound and image. I get in my chair every day and practice whether or not something happens or not, some revision or some inspiration or work with language happens. And then there's the perspective, too, of always looking in the world for potential ideas and images that shimmer with possibility for a poem. So those three ideas I'll be talking about.
And that's going to be at 1 o'clock with Christine Stewart Nunez at Mount Morney College. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. My pleasure.